Good afternoon. Come on, NFBI, you can do better than that. Good afternoon. Much better. My name is Ronza Othman. I currently serve for the next 24 hours as IAB treasurer. I want to welcome you on behalf of the Illinois Association of Blind Students and students everywhere to the student and IAB's luncheon. Thank you for coming. Just to get a few of the logistical things out of the way, we have a parallel session for half of this afternoon, this luncheon. So the first hour, the parents should remain here. The parents and the students are joint. And then at 12:30, and I'll cue you a few minutes before that, the parents should make their way across the hall to the Michigan room. Lunch will be served after the split. We are here to talk about student success, student issues, student experiences, and student opportunities. There are a great many things that we as an affiliate should be proud of, and there are a great many things that we can and should brag about. The highlight of the highlights of this luncheon will be the introduction to the scholarship class. You'll get to hear from the 2012 scholarship finalists, and you'll also get to hear from our NABS rep, who will give our keynote speech. But first up, Patty, I'd like to introduce somebody who by now I hope you're familiar with. If not, we need to talk. Our affiliate president, who was and has always been a strong supporter of students. This division exists because of Patty and Patty's work, among others, but she's always been a champion for students. So without further ado, Patty Chang.
I make no secret of the fact that I champion the students because I ain't doing this forever. The students are our future, and if we do not invest, we won't have a future. I am privileged to travel around the country, and honestly, Illinois has one of the strongest youth elements I see anywhere in the country, including New York, Carl. This luncheon, once the parents are split off, we'll still have over 60 people in attendance. We have, at this convention, registered so far 145, and a rough count of those counts 45 of you who I claim as being under 30. That's a lot. That's a lot. Almost a third of the people who are registered for this convention are under the age of 30. That's what matters very, very much 20 years down the road. Okay, we say it all the time, but the youth are our future. They're the future of this affiliate. That's why I support you all and I welcome you all. And keep those numbers coming. I'd love to hit 150. So if there's anybody in the room who hasn't registered, please, please, please go register. See Glenn. Glenn, where are you? He's up. Okay. I'd like to get five more. Five more would get us 150.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam President.
I love it when people can follow directions. I told Patty, please be brief. She was. Thank you, Patty. You should have a luncheon card, a ticket that you received when you picked up your registration packet. You don't need it right this minute, but you will need to have it in front of you. It's the one that has, for this room, four corners torn off of it. Anyone know, for the parents, how many corners are torn off?
Three.
So the students have four corners to eat in this room. The parents will have three corners on their tickets. You must display it when it comes time for the food in front of you, or else you may not be served. It depends on the wait staff has been told to please serve the people with tickets. If you don't have a luncheon ticket, you haven't been able to pick up your registration, you need to see Patty or Denise. Denise, where are you?
Here.
Patty? Stepped outside. Or Glenn, where are you?
Outside.
Outside. So see one of those people so we can work it out. Okay? Students often, folks in the in the world often think of students and student issues as being isolated from the rest of the world. If you're a student, you don't really connect to anything else. You just have student issues that don't trickle back. And that's obviously not true, because when you're a student, you're studying for a profession. You're studying to do something else when you're done being a student. You're learning now to join one of those other fields. So we obviously encourage folks to get involved in other areas, other divisions, like the merchants division, the lawyers division, if I can plug my own, teachers, blind educators division, whatever it is that you're interested in, there is a division in NFB for you. We wanted to highlight some of the one area in particular where they really do emphasize partnerships with students and helping students develop. So today, to speak with you today, we have two individuals who expect the impossible through partnerships. Our theme, of course, is expecting the impossible. So expecting the impossible through partnerships. Today we have for you John Gorman, who's the chairman of the Illinois Committee on Blind Vendors. Gordon. Sorry, I misspoke. John Gordon. My braille is wrong. Let me redo that again because I didn't. John Gordon. Yes?
Yes.
Chairman of the Illinois Committee on Blind Vendors. It's interesting. You missed one little dot, and it makes it a Gordon. And Ed Birmingham, he's the president of the Illinois Association of Blind Merchants. So please welcome John and Ed.
Oops, sorry about that. Hello, everybody. This is... Okay. Got a sound, man.
We got to get that up there higher. You're bigger. You're bigger than Rosa.
Okay, anyway, my name is John Gordon. Thank you. It is a pleasure to be here with all of you. And we do a lot through partnerships. I've been in the Randolph-Shepherd program now let's say I'm not part of that one-third that Patty was speaking of. I've actually been in this program almost 30 years, but I started as somebody who was young, I guess student's age. And I think the one thing I could say about the blind managers here who are part of the Randolph-Shepherd program is they are very giving. And they have extended employment opportunities many a time to students during the summer, during holiday seasons. Sometimes that is a great way for somebody to choose whether or not they'd like to be part of this long term for a career. I love it. I got involved in the program when I was I lost my vision when I was 18 years old, and I came into the program at about 20 years old, and it's been a tremendous opportunity for me. You have to like responsibility, but it also allows you to be very creative and have a lot of fun doing it. If there is anybody interested, Nikki Gakos was speaking a few minutes ago to me. You could visit the NABM.org website. You could call the Business Enterprise Program for the Blind in Springfield. Or you could contact us at our website, Illinois Committee of Blind Vendors. Anyway, it really... is a great opportunity for young people especially. Our group is aging rapidly, and we don't have a lot of young people coming into it. I'm not sure exactly why. I know 30 years ago, the Business Enterprise Program was kind of the dumping ground for rehabilitation services. It's not like that anymore. And a lot of the people that we do see coming through training are coming through with degrees. They're educated people, so very different. But I guess I would tell you this, that the sky is the limit on income opportunity if you are successful in our program. Anyway, thank you very much, and you guys have a great day. Thank you.
My name is Ed Birmingham. I am the president of the Illinois Association of Blind Merchants. I, like John, unfortunately don't fall into that 45 group of under 30. I've also been in the program for almost 30 years. When I first started, I wouldn't have given you a dime to tell you that I'd be here 30 years later. I've just been very fortunate, very blessed. I've been afforded some great opportunities. The one thing I'll say about Randolph Shepherd is we're not without our problems. You know, we're constantly having to fight to maintain our opportunities. It seems like there's always somebody out there who wants a piece of our pie. I would say to all you students, the fact that you belong to the NFB and that you remain active and you participate and you fight for your rights, that is something that don't ever stop doing, because no one's going to do it for you. You need to get out there, let them know who you are, let them know you can do whatever it is you want to do, and just be proactive and not reactive. Now where am I going? Like John said, we do, if there's any of you, you know, I would also encourage, that's where I want to go. I want to encourage you to also, my first suggestion would be to stay in school for as long as you can. Get the best education that you can, because education is the one thing that they can't take away from you. But I understand that college isn't for everyone. I wouldn't have survived in college. I won't get into those reasons. But I would encourage you to stay in school for as long as you can. But if you decide that, you know what, college isn't for me, then I would strongly urge you to check into the Randolph Shepherd program. If you ever wanted to do a summer work thing, contact the places that John mentioned to you. We'll try to get you some kind of an opportunity to work with someone for a summer or for a couple weeks, whatever the case may be, and you can see if it's something that may interest you. So, like I said, stay in school, stay proactive, stay active, fight for your rights, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak.
Thank you, Ed Birmingham and John Gorman. If I could have the following people please come up to the stage, we'd appreciate it. Debbie Stein is here, great. Meg Dowell, Katie Lynham, Brianna Lilliman, Anthony Overheiser, Adrian Rodriguez, and Gaia Acarino. Oh, Ryan Perry, I'm sorry. Skipped you. Ryan Perry. Next up, we have Debbie just tried to pull my ear off my head. I need that. My eyes don't work. I need my ears. Next up, we have what has become many of our favorite portion of the convention, or at least one of them. We have the introduction of the scholarship program at NFB of Illinois, as well as we have a fantastic internship program that Debbie is also going to talk very, very, very briefly about. And she's going to get to brag on our scholarship winners, and then we're actually going to get to hear from our winners and alternate. So I want to introduce Debbie Stein, who you should also know, and if you don't, we need to talk. Debbie Stein is first vice president of the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois. She also serves as a board member at large, because student issues are very important to her, of the Illinois Association of Blind Students, and she happens to be our affiliate's scholarship chair, among tens and thousands of other things that she does, including editing Future Reflections, our organization's magazine. So without further ado, Debbie Stein.
Those of you who heard Rose Sloan talk this morning, Rose did me a tremendous service because she talked about the scholarship program. She said tons of things that I would otherwise have had to say myself, and she did them beautifully. So I thank Rose tremendously. I do want to say that the scholarship program is... we have two scholarship programs in the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois that you can apply to, because if you can apply to the program here in Illinois, you also are eligible to apply to our national scholarship program. They are two separate applications, but you can use the same materials and send one set to me and one set to the national office. Increases your chances of winning something. And we all know that college is expensive, and it's really important to get all the help that you can and to become part of the student community by taking part in the scholarship program. We also sponsor a summer internship opportunity for blind students. And the way that works is you apply here in Illinois the same way that you would apply to the scholarship program. A student chooses some kind of volunteer work that they would like to do, preferably career-related, and earns a stipend through the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois for working 4 weeks or 6 weeks in some kind of a volunteer capacity. It's a way to build a resume. It's a way to get some hands-on experience. So I want to go ahead and give the scholarship winners an opportunity to introduce themselves. And the first, I'm going to go alphabetically. The first is Megan Dowell. Megan.
Hello, everyone. I am Meg Dowell, and I am all over NFBI. If you don't know me, come find me. I can't wait to get to know all of you so much better than I have in the past year. This is my second time winning an NFBI scholarship, and I still am so grateful for everything that you guys do for me and for all of us. I am a junior this year at Olivet Nazarene University, and I am a very busy woman. I have two majors. I'm in two honor societies. My leadership skills have definitely been tested over the past few months, and will definitely be tested again as time goes on. I love being a leader. I love being treasurer of an honor society and, you know, a board member for IABS, and I also serve on the newsletter committee and am on the resolutions committee, so you saw me yesterday, and will see me again tomorrow. I'm so glad to be here, and thank you so much for having me and, you know, tolerating my caffeine highs, you know, as most of you saw this morning, so thank you, and I am looking forward to getting to know all of you.
Next, Katie Lenham.
Hello, everybody. My name is Katie Lenham. I am currently a freshman at Southern Illinois University Carbondale. I am majoring in architecture and fashion merchandising, so it's a lot of time. Outside of classes, I am in several student organizations, student architecture group, Colleges Against Cancer, which I was voted treasurer as a freshman, and a lot of other ones. And I've been in the NFB for, this is my fourth convention. I got involved with Youth Slam in 2009. I also was went to Youth Slam in 2011. I was at Project Innovation this past summer and have been to two leadership academies, and love every NFB event I've gone to. I hope to meet any of you I haven't met yet and get to know all of you more. Thank you.
Brianna Lilliman.
Hello, everyone. My name is Brianna Lilliman, and I come from the Champaign-Urbana area, but I now live in the city and attend Loyola University Chicago. I am majoring in English, and when I interviewed for this scholarship, my intentions were to pursue a career in publishing, but at the beginning of the semester, I chose to follow a new path and am now a pre-law student at Loyola. As a college student, there is really no such thing as free time, but I have managed to find time in my schedule to work as a volunteer for a Girl Scout troop as a leader, and I also tutor adults in English literacy. It's sort of an English as a second language program. I have also attended two previous conventions. This is my third convention, and I attended the National Convention this summer, which was an amazing experience. It is honestly hard to believe that I have been involved in the NFB for only 4 years because they've really become such an integral part of my life. And as much as I appreciate this scholarship opportunity, I truly appreciate your support and faith in me even more. So I would like to thank all of you, and I would like to thank the scholarship committee for allowing me to be part of such a fantastic scholarship class. Thank you.
Anthony Overheiser.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Anthony Overheiser. I also attend Loyola University Chicago. I am a biology major, and I'm minoring in psychology as well. NFBs truly, they can truly do make the impossible possible. They got me, a college student, out of bed on a Saturday at 6 a.m., which is a feat in itself. It really is. I didn't even know 6 a.m. existed on Saturdays. So this is... in all seriousness, growing up, I moved around a lot. I was born in California. I moved to Arizona, then to Illinois, then to Colorado, then to Arkansas, then to Washington, then back to Illinois. So I've had quite an interesting journey. I've met a lot of personalities, some more ignorant than others, in terms of, my blindness and, being open. But for the most part, I feel like it's made me a stronger person. For example, when I was younger, I was part of a after-school extracurricular activity where we would go and we would learn gymnastics and karate. And suffice it to say, I was bullied pretty hard. People underestimated me tremendously, and I let them win. I ended up not going. But as I grew up, I became stronger. I became more resilient. I joined wrestling. I won a couple tournaments. I graduated in the top 10 of my class. I'm now going to, thank you. And I'm now on the pre-health track at Loyola University Chicago, so I showed them. And being a part of the NFB is, their values align so well with mine and what I've learned. And being with the NFB is, it's going to keep me on track. It's going to keep my aim true. And so I look forward to being a more integral part of this organization. And I thank you guys so much for this opportunity and this scholarship. And being here, this is my first state convention, and I attended my first national convention just this past summer, and it was awesome. I met so many people who I'll never forget. Thank you all so much, and enjoy the rest of your convention.
Ryan Perry.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm a PhD candidate in disability studies at UIC, and my dissertation work is, it's really the intersection of philosophy and disability studies. I'm looking at the meaning and experience of disability in general and blindness, and how that meaning gets made in social interactions. What else do I do? I also, I've worked, I'm For 3 years, I've been on the Chancellor's Committee for the Status of Persons with Disabilities. I'm also their grad assistant. I've been for 3 years the president of the Disability Studies Student Council in the department. I'm an executive board member of the Disability Specialty Group of the American Association of Geographers. And, you know, more importantly, I'm just a guy who is blind. And, for you know, that can be so isolating, you know, growing up, going through school. And it was only when I got into disability studies that I found, like, a core group, you know, like a family, like we've all said. And that's only gotten stronger and more meaningful through the NFB. And I, you know, I've really enjoyed every opportunity I've had to get stuck in and get involved. And I'm, you know, give me a scholarship or not, I'm still going to do it. So I really appreciate this opportunity. Thank you all.
Adrian Rodriguez.
Good afternoon. My name is Adrian Rodriguez, and like so many of you in this room, I too am no stranger to rejection. I was born in El Salvador, and when I was 5 years old, I was disallowed enrollment to any of our country's schools, both American or British. So my family and I picked up and came to the United States. However, while I was offered admittance to these schools, it was not without a great deal of circumstance. For example, despite being athletically inclined, I was disallowed to play soccer with my peers and publicly removed from athletics. And despite being intellectually curious, I was not recommended for any advanced classes while entering high school. However, the difference between where I was and where I came to be was that I was always offered opportunities to change those things. For example, as a freshman in high school, I was given the opportunity to present in front of the Illinois Board of Education explaining why assistive technology is so crucial. Likewise, freshman year, I was given the opportunity to start my town's first goalball team, which was an incredible opportunity. Ultimately, thanks to the culmination of so many great people and so many organizations like the NFB, I was given the resources to pursue all of my intellectual and academic endeavors. Ultimately, I became team captain of my high school's gymnastics team, was a varsity cross-country runner, and both an Illinois State and AP scholar. And this year I was offered early admission to Stanford University, where I'm currently a pre-law student. This year, however, now that I have been exposed to even more opportunities, such has increased my scope and what I want to do with them. So, for example, this year, it is my goal to start a new nonprofit promoting social proactivity for the disabled. Concurrently, I'm also undertaking several artistic activism projects in which I'd like to raise awareness to both the issue of custody and the issue of disability wage. So thank you so much for your time today, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your convention.
Those are our six scholarship winners, and I also want to introduce our alternate scholarship winner. Rose used the term this morning, the outer circle. I think that's kind of how we look at our alternates, people that we wish we could give a scholarship to. We were limited to a certain number, but they do receive sponsorship to attend convention, and we hope that they apply next year. So I want to introduce Gaia Iaccarino.
Hello, everybody. My name is Gaia Iaccarino. I'm actually graduating this year. I'm a film student, and I work for, I'm a student ambassador for WQPT, also you guys might know it as PBS. I absolutely love it there. Yes, I'm very sad they're canceling Arthur. Anyways, so I just want to thank your generation and the generations above me, because I'm a sibling of 16 kids, and I'm the only blind one. And about 3 years ago, I didn't even know if I was even going to go to college, and just being, you know, the only blind one, I thought I was really limited. And with all the resources of you guys fighting for everything for, you know, the visually impaired and us blind, I've just been able to have the confidence to think of myself as better. And so I'm going to school for screenwriting and directing. So, what? Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. You can see that we have an awesome scholarship class this year. I can truly say this is one of the solidest, most exciting scholarship classes that I can remember. And I have chaired this committee for 20 years. So congratulations to every one of them. And we hope to continue to see them involved and staying with us for many, many years to come. Thank you, guys.
I want to welcome the scholarship class to be as now part of the you guys. It's an us guys now. So welcome to all of you. As part of their scholarship, in addition to the money, which is nice, is and the friendship and fellowship, the scholarship class are also automatically members of the Illinois Association of Blind Students. So the 2012 scholarship class, including Gaia, are all part of the Illinois Association of Blind Students, and by therefore NABS and the Illinois affiliate. So we wanted to welcome you, and how about another round of applause for a truly talented and incredible scholarship class. It is now that time. We encourage as many people who want to stay. We have no problem filching parents. But it is time for the parents to make their way across the hall to the Michigan room. So we're going to take a few moments for that transition to happen. And Karen Anderson, if you could make your way up to the stage. It is also time for those of you staying in the room to pull out your nice tickets with the four corners cut. If you're going across the hall with the three corners cut, and put them in front of you so that you can get served.
Yeah.
Want to eat? Ryan, off. Thank you, Ryan. Who wants to eat? If you want to eat, you gotta do two things. You have to find three things. Somebody just reminded me of something. I'm a lawyer and a woman. It's my prerogative. I can add. One, find your ticket. Two, put it in front of you. Three, be quiet. And be respectful, because even though you're going to be served, we are going to move on and continue with our program. I want to pause for a moment, if I could have your attention, please. It's very rare that I get to be the center of attention, and I really, really enjoy it. So please indulge me. It's also the last time for a while, likely, in this affiliate that I'll be the center of attention. So please indulge me some more. I do have a gavel. Ooh. I have a lost and found pair of sunglasses. And I have some glass cups that I could use as a gavel. But we want to take a moment and appreciate it if you can assist us with this. We absolutely, absolutely could not accomplish any of this. We are streaming. We have all this technology. You have wonderful music that was going on in the background. We want to take a moment to, again, thank our sound engineers, Blair Alper, Ryan Quag, and Tony Olivero. We miss Byron, but it just goes to show that this affiliate is completely jam-packed with talented individuals. Thank you, thank you, thank you very much. And please show your appreciation to our sound engineers throughout the rest of the convention. They do a fantastic job. We also want to thank our wait staff and the hotel staff for doing a great job with setup and breakdown and serving. So thank you. And we want to thank all of those individuals who've come from other states, Karen Anderson, Tony Olivero, Anil Lewis, Carl and Mindy Jacobson, and I'm sure I forgot lots and lots of other people. There's, yep, Sean Mayo, of course, Sean Mayo, who's a huge advocate for students. Sean, where are you?
Over here.
Sean Mayo. You're going to hear from Sean later, but there are just, you know, it takes an affiliate, it takes a nation, so thank you very much to all of you. Next up, we have our keynote speaker for the luncheon, and this is our National Association of Blind Students rep. I've known Karen for a really long time, since she was wee little. This is my 10th convention, which makes me feel incredibly old. I've known her since she was probably 10. How old were you? Like 17, 18?
18.
18,
yeah.
Which was almost, 7 years ago. Karen was one of those people that really made me think about what does it mean to be blind. I thought I got it. I thought I'd been part of this organization and this affiliate and been involved on the national level, and I thought I really understood I am blind and this is what I'm capable of, until I met Karen, and then I realized that I had no idea. She has been one of the strongest people, one of the most influential people in my life,
and has taught me tremendous things, despite the fact that I could be almost her mom. Not quite. If I started when I was like 7. Bad joke, it fell. Forgive me. At any rate, Karen has inspired many people across the nation. She has been, she is the liaison to the Illinois Association of Blind Students. She has been engaged in mentorship. She previously came to an Illinois convention as the Louisiana Center rep when she had was close to finishing or just finished training through Louisiana, and we liked her so much that we really wanted her to come back. Our students have continued to be connected to Karen. Years later, she stayed in touch with our students and has played a huge impact on their lives. Please welcome Karen Anderson.
Thanks, Rhonda. It's very... I don't want you to be my mom either. That's just awkward. It's very interesting to be introduced by a friend and to see how your friends view you. And it's very interesting for me to realize that I shaped Rhonda's view of blindness and the organization because she shaped mine too. She met me when I was coming into this organization, brand new, and had a lot of impact on why I stayed involved and the fact that I stayed involved. But we're getting a little ahead of ourselves. How many of you in here right now are students? All right. How many of you in here want to move to Nebraska and go to school? Yeah. Oh. Rats. I was trying to recruit for my own student division.
Hey now. Coach.
I have the pleasure of serving as the president of the Nebraska Association of Blind Students as well, so, you know, if any of you guys decide you want a new state. I'm being told I can't poach. Okay. You know, we learned... Do we need to make an announcement? Do we need somebody?
No, I'm just telling you, you got Alex.
You don't need us.
I guess. You know, I grew up, we learned this morning that only 10% of blind kids right now are learning Braille. I grew up one of the lucky ones. My mom was blind. And so I thought that I grew up with all of the skills and all of the tools in my toolbox that I would possibly need. I had a very good set of parents who let me be a kid. I ran around and I got my knees scraped up and I climbed trees, much to the horror of my grandparents. I remember one time my grandpa came and got a ladder and he said, Karen, how are you going to get down out of that tree? The ladder won't reach. I said, Grandpa, I'm going to get down the same way I got up. I climbed. I'm okay. I had a lot of opportunities. I got a cane when I was fairly young. I wasn't necessarily encouraged to use it, but I had it. I knew it existed. I learned Braille as a very small child. I was in public school. I had friends. But I didn't have probably as much as I thought I did. I had great family. I had some pretty great tools that I was starting to get in my toolbox, but I wasn't really sure that I could be as much, as good as all of those sighted kids that I was seeing every day. I didn't really know what to do with that, but it wasn't something I thought about either. It was just kind of there, niggling in the back of my mind. When I was 13... my mom passed away, and so along with that, I stopped being in contact with a lot of the blind role models that I'd grown up knowing. I went through high school without a lot of contact with blind people. And then my rehabilitation counselor convinced me to go to a summer work program the summer between my junior and senior years of high school. And she convinced me to do this by telling me that I was going to make money. I wanted to make money, guys. I want to go clothes shopping. Come on now. You can't buy from Walmart all the time. So I went to this program, and lo and behold, I had almost all blind counselors. And man, I thought I had it together. At this point, I was going to be a senior in high school. I knew Braille. I thought I could travel. I thought I had this whole thing together. I thought I was set. I was going to go to college in the fall after my senior year. I was good to go. I was one of those super blind people. Anybody else ever thought they were super blind? Yeah. Okay. See, you guys are, there's a couple brave souls in here to admit it. I was super blind because I could tie my shoes. Just really that good, you guys. It's very impressive. But all of a sudden, I was at this summer work camp, and there were blind people doing things that I had never even dreamed about. They were traveling places that they had never been to before, and they weren't following some sighted person. They were going by themselves. One of my counselors told me that her husband was currently on his way to, I think that year it was Dallas, for a national convention of the National Federation of the Blind. I wasn't really all that enthused. I hadn't really had any interest in joining the NFB up to that point, but the fact that he was going and the fact that he was a leader in this organization, the fact that he was going on his own, absolutely blew my mind. And these people were really influential on my life that summer. I don't know if they knew that I was watching, but I was watching as they were traveling. I was watching as they were doing their job and watching over us and making sure that we were where we needed to be. I started to think maybe I didn't have it quite as together as I thought I did. But, you know, I had a plan, and I didn't really, if I was super blind, they were obviously more super blind, and I probably wasn't ever going to be able to be like them anyway, so I was just going to stick with the plan. I left the camp and pretty much assumed that I would lose touch with all of the friends that I'd made there and all of my counselors. And then I got surprised. One of them told me, hey, there's a scholarship. The NFB in Nebraska has a scholarship. You should really apply for this scholarship. It's free money. I really wanted the free money, guys. I was going to college. I really wanted the free money. So I applied. And I got the phone call. Hey, you're a finalist. You get to come to convention. You're going to get some free money. Well, I got a stay in a hotel and free money. Who's going to turn that down? So I went to convention. And while at convention, one of my scholarship mentors said, hey, Karen, our student division needs a secretary, and we think you should run. I don't know if you guys know out there, but the scholarship mentors are also the scholarship committee, meaning they decide how much free money you get. I was not going to say no. I figured that if I said yes, I'd probably get more free money. And I mean, realistically, you know, I run for secretary. I go to a few meetings, and next year, you know, someone else can run for secretary, and I don't really have to worry about it. So I ran for secretary, and I won. And then I went home. I got my free money, and I went home. And I went back to school. I finished the first semester of my senior year, and around about January, I was asked if I wanted to go to Baltimore to go to a leadership retreat for student leaders. And it was more free stuff, guys. I was not going to turn down a free trip. Come on now. It wasn't going to happen. So I went to Baltimore, and I met more people that I was just intrigued by. These people were running this huge building, and they were doing it themselves. They were moving all over this building by themselves, no problem. I learned a lot that weekend, but once again, I went home and went back to my normal life. I was fortunate enough to win a national scholarship the summer before I started college. I got to go to my first convention. In fact, I went from 2 weeks in Spain to my very first convention. I was very tired when I got home, but it was an incredible experience. I had fantastic scholarship mentors that I learned a lot from. And two of those scholarship mentors were Pam Allen and Sean Mayo. And they started dropping hints. They said, you know, Karen, you really should think about maybe going and getting some skills training. You might think about this. Nope. I'm good. I know Braille, and I have a cane. See, I've got my cane right here. So I'm good, and I have a plan. I'm going to college. But thank you. That was very nice. Nice offer. And so I did. I went to college. My first semester, I had my mobility teacher from high school come to Lincoln, and she showed me where all of my classes were going to be and how to get to them from my dorm. And man, guys, my first semester at college was a snap. I loved it. I did well in school. I got good grades. I made friends. I was very happy. My second semester of college, I got lucky because all of my classes were in the same exact buildings as the classes my first semester had been. Yes, exactly. Big sigh of relief here. I didn't have to worry about exploring. During my freshman year of college, I was elected president of the Nebraska Association of Blind Students. I got way more involved in the NFB, which was great because I started seeing all these things that were possible. The summer after my freshman year, I was invited to go and teach in Baltimore. They had a summer program for high school students, and I got to go and teach there. And I just thought I was on top of the world. And then I got there, and I started looking around, and man, guys, my coworkers, they were way ahead of me. They were miles ahead of where I was. I think I learned more that summer than my students did. I started to think, maybe there's something to this skills training thing. But no. I have a plan. I have my classes all set for the next semester, and I have my dorm reserved, and I have a plan. I'm okay. Besides, I'm a leader. And leaders aren't allowed to fail, right, guys? No? Oh, man, I wish you guys had been around, like, 4 years ago. Y'all could have saved me some heartache. So I went back to school. By now, I'm in my third semester of college. And I have a class in a new building. Yeah. Ooh. Well, you know, I thought about it. I could have dropped it. But you know what, guys? I got lucky. Because I had a friend who was in the same class. And so we would just meet up at my dorm and we'd hang out and study a little bit before class and then we'd go to class together. And it was okay. Interesting little side note that when she was sick for class, I was also sick for class. I haven't had a friend before or since where we were so closely synced. I mean, Rhonda, we're close, but...
I won't be sick when you're sick.
I appreciate that. So I got through my third semester of college okay. And then I got to my fourth semester of college. And all of a sudden, I have classes. Every single one of my classes is in a different building. I didn't know what I was going to do. I'd seen my NFB friends, and they were out wandering around, and, you know, they explored. They did this stuff on their own. I'm an NFB leader. I have to be able to do this. I don't need to ask for help. I can't ask for help. I'm a leader. The first couple weeks of class, I wandered around, eventually found my classes, kind of. But then one day, it was very cold. It gets cold in Nebraska, you guys. It snows, you know, like a foot at a time sometimes. It was very cold, and it had snowed, and we were going to be watching a movie in class. And I was just, you know, I'm really not going to be noticed if I don't go. So I didn't. Skipped one day of class, it's not going to be a big deal. Skipped 2 days of class, not a big deal. I feel too stupid asking for directions. It's like the fourth week of the semester now. Everyone else knows how to get to their classes, and I have no idea. I look really stupid, so I'm just going to skip. 1 week turned into 2 weeks, turned into 3 weeks, turned into 3 months, and I failed my fourth semester of college. There is absolutely no reason that I should have failed my college. I certainly have the ability to handle the classwork, but it didn't really matter because I'd failed my fourth semester of college. I got that nice little academic probation letter and a knock on my dorm room door from my rehab counselor. She said, okay, what are you going to do now? I don't know. Here's what I think you should do now. I think you should go to the Louisiana Center for the Blind. I think you should get some skills training. And then we can talk. When you have hit rock bottom, there's not a whole lot else you can do. She was telling me this was going to help. I didn't really have any other ideas. But I was very ashamed. I didn't know how to tell my NFB friends. I had friends who were as close as family. And I didn't know how to tell them that I'd failed college. So I told them that I was just choosing to take a break. They were very happy that I was going to go for training. I went for training. Training was incredible. I got to go whitewater rafting. I got to go to Mardi Gras. It was fun. I got to go rock climbing. I'm not an athletic person, guys, but I loved rock climbing. And I met a new family. And they made it okay. They told me that it was okay. It didn't make me any less of a leader that I'd failed. I was still the same person. I just needed to learn. They spent the time with me and they taught me. And then they sent me home. And I was very intimidated to go home. I got another invitation for a job. A woman took a really big chance on me. I was at a state convention, kind of like I am here, and a woman who had met me before came up to me and said, "Karen, we are starting a summer program in Baltimore for blind teenagers, and we want you to come work for us." Yeah, there was not enough Southern in that accent. I'm sorry, Amy Phelps. Love me anyway. It took me a long time to decide if I was willing to take her up on that offer. I was very scared. But I did take her up on that offer. I went to Baltimore right after I went for training, and I spent 3 months planning and putting together a summer program and teaching blind teenagers. And then I went back to school. Going back to school was one of the hardest things I have ever done in my life. It wasn't that the classwork was hard, that was never really my problem, but emotionally, I was terrified. I'd already failed once. What if I failed again? But my NFB family was there, and they supported me, and they cheered me on. By then, some of them knew the whole story, though I don't know. I think some people are still learning the whole story of why I went for training. But it didn't matter to them because I came home and they welcomed me back with open arms and open projects and lots of things for me to do. I did pretty well my first year back in college. I went the next summer back to Baltimore and worked there and ran the same summer program and had a great time. I am a stronger person because I failed. And my favorite thing about the National Federation of the Blind is that they are there to help you up when you fall. My friends don't look at me as any less of a person because I failed. They're proud of me. And I'm proud of them when they fail. I'm even more proud of them when they get back up and succeed. My second favorite thing about the NFB is that we get a chance to give back. I talked a lot at the beginning of my speech about the free stuff I got. I got free money. I got free trips. I'm still getting free trips. Thanks, Illinois. Thanks, Sean, at the end of the month for Minnesota. I appreciate it. Lots of fun. But I'm getting to give back. And that is an incredibly empowering feeling. I got so much from this organization. I got so much strength from this organization. And if I can give back a tenth of what I got from some of my mentors and friends, I'll be doing really well. If I can pay forward half of what I got from my mentors and friends to the next generation, that's going to be even better. I'm pretty sure we have some high school students out there. Any high school students? All right. A couple of my mentees back there. You guys are the next generation. We need you. Yes, you. We need you. All of the things that we talked about at General Session this morning that we've accomplished, all of the legislation that we pass, all of the programs that we have at the National Center, None of that is going to continue without you. We don't need you to be perfect. We just need you to be you. And we'll support you 100% of the way. Go out, be you, and do everything that you can. Thank you.
Wow. There is not a lot that just absolutely floors me. And I know Karen, and I've watched her journey. And Anil just tweeted, it's not when things go bad that you don't fail when things go bad. You fail when you refuse to pick yourself up and try afterwards. So well done, and congratulations, Karen. We are so proud of you. Saif, if you can make your way up to the front, please. Okay, come on up. Next up, we want to talk about our triumphs and our successes. On occasion, we'll feature the story or the experience of one of our members and some of the work or projects or experiences that individuals have had and how they've been impacted by it. Those experiences define who we are as an individual, certainly, but who we are collectively as an organization, who we are as a student division, who we are as people, and who we are as society. We want to have positive impacts. We want to have positive experiences, and we want to learn from those experiences, just like Karen described some of the most challenging experiences of her life and how she absolutely took those lemons and made lemonade. Saif, Mohammed Saif Allah, is a member of our student division. He was a scholarship winner in 2011. He has an interesting story, as many of you remember from last year when you met him. And this summer, he participated in an internship where he had some interesting experiences that he is going to share with you. Everybody, please welcome Mohammed Saif Allah.
I had a bit of an outline for this talk, and it seems that I've forgotten in the car. So, I'm impromptu. I'm going to, forgive me if I'm not terribly organized. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of God, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Dear friends, I welcome you all with a warm NFPI greeting on a very cold afternoon. Okay. So I have about 10 minutes to talk about something which is pretty much like a lifelong journey. So here goes. Actually, first of all, I want to start off with apologizing. I was supposed to address you today as the NFPI 2012 intern, but unfortunately what happened was that this past summer was the busiest summer of my life, and I had to make some really tough decisions, and unfortunately one of that was to prematurely discontinue from the NFPI internship, and there are many reasons for that. But let's just pretend that, you know, that I'm addressing you as the NFPI intern. I got through about 3 weeks of internship, and that summer happened to be also the summer where I was applying to medical school and taking the medical college admission test, the MCAT. The MCAT is a, I don't want to put any of the law folks down here, but it is known that MCAT is the most difficult of all the standardized tests. And as you know, standardized tests, or any test for that matter, I'm actually legally blind, so I need accommodations. So, and I'm sort of used to the accommodation process, knowing that, you know, there's going to be delays and this and that. So I applied months in advance, months in advance, and I'll be like, okay, so I'm going to take my MCAT early May so that I can have June and July to dedicate to my internship, my NFBI internship. Then what happened is that, oh my goodness, delay upon delay upon delay to get the right accommodations for my test. It was really, really tough. And it got to a point where, you know, they approved of everything. You know, I need extra time. I need a well-lit testing space. I can't take a computerized exam. I need a hard copy, and so on and so forth. They just were not giving me large print. They were not giving me large print, and I was just, okay. I mean, if Loyola University can give me large print, then why not the American Association of Medical Schools? You know, it was really strange, and they were saying, oh, you're going to have to apply next year. So, you know, we can arrange this large print for you. So, I mean, we had to really, you know, think. It really got tough, to a point where I was just like, you know, maybe I should, you know, delay it, and maybe I should sort of back off. But you know, I had my parents by my side. My father is joining us today. He's here in the audience. He was actually. I remember, like, one evening, I was just like, okay, you know, Dad, I just can't do this anymore. Let's just wait for next year. And my dad's like, no, you know, no, you're gonna do it this year. You know, let's sit down and think. You know, if you can't get large print, then let's think about some other options. And you know, we started another process. We offered, you know, if I could use my CCTV. That's another device which many of you are familiar with. It just magnifies a hard copy of a test. So that was another process, and then we had to go through another process. And basically, I've been preparing for the MCAT for a year, and I had this like big pause in the middle where we were like figuring out what to do, and I had to basically get back into test prep shape. So I had to take some time off to, you know, get back into shape in terms of MCAT. So unfortunately, we had to discontinue the internship, and I was really, really upset. You know, I was talking to Debbie, and I was just like, oh man, you know, this is really, you know, I was really looking forward to a summer. You know, last year I was a scholarship winner, and, you know, I really wanted to dedicate this summer for the internship. But, you know, I had to make a choice, and, you know, it was tough. And what happened was that then I had to take that. There was like a week that I took off, and in that week I did some intense studying. And what happened was... then basically they approved the CCTV. So they gave me 2 weeks to get back into shape in terms of test prep and, you know, apply for medical school. And in that same time, I had to, you know, take some time off and whatnot. But and guess what? You know, I took the MCAT. In August, the next month, I found out I did great. Without the large print, just using that device. And I ended up applying to medical school. I recently received notice that my application file is complete. I'm awaiting interviews, and everything is awesome. You know? Yeah. The topic that's been given to me is achieving your goals. So, I mean, after a little bit of sharing my story, I always, you know, when I was getting frustrated and on all this accommodations and all that stuff, you know, I just reminded myself, you know, this is something I share with a lot of folks that I talk to as well. You guys are having lunch right now. You guys might have like bottles of water or glasses of water in front of you. What do you think? Is your glass half empty or half full? Or is it like, there's two ways of looking at half a glass of water. Half empty or half full. And I see before me an audience and the scholarship winners and, you know, the different people who participate in these conventions that they see the glass as half full. So basically this is the situation for us students with visual conditions. We have two paths before us. We have the path of like, okay, you know, I have this condition. I'm blind. I'm legally blind or totally blind or whatever specific condition you have. I have a form of albinism that renders me legally blind. So we have this one path. You know, we're just going to sit at home and not do anything. Oh, man, you know, life is unfair. And the other path is like, look, we have dreams, we have aspirations, we have a mission in life. We're going to get up and we're going to go ahead and, you know, do it. So these are the two paths. So, you know, with the encouragement of my teachers and my parents and with the help of God Almighty, you know, I got up and I did it. So very quickly, talking about what I did this summer, which I used the internship for, I'm a researcher in a biology lab. We study malaria, and a lot of complicated techniques are involved. And I don't want to use too many sciencey words because I remember, like, last week I was at a meeting where they were talking about like different things, and I was just like, "Oh, English, please," you know. It's like, so I mean, I'm not gonna bother you guys with any like, you know, technical scientific terms, but our specific research is we study the mosquito that, you know, transmits the disease. So we're studying the environment inside the mosquito and how the parasite it survives within the mosquito. And I'm studying a specific protein, and this protein is supposed to protect this parasite inside the mosquito. So if we can, you know, study and analyze this protein, we can possibly find a way to, you know, do something with it that, you know, disables the parasite, which could hopefully, you know, in the future. Always, you know, scientists have these dreams and goals that, you know, we're gonna cure some disease or make some invention. So our ultimate goal is, you know, hopefully we can do something about this deadly disease that's, you know, claiming millions of lives every year. So that's what I was doing in the summer. I was researching, and, you know, in terms of, you know, talking about achieving your goals, I recently finished my project. We have successfully completed that stage that we were working on. So now we're doing more advanced tests. So in terms of like accommodations inside lab, the best accommodation if you're a student, if you're an undergraduate, working in a lab, is people. It's such a wonderful thing to just, you know, turn to someone and be like, hey, can you read this label for me, or can you tell me what color this is, and, you know, things like that. So that's sort of my advice, that, you know, for blind students, for students you know, who have visual conditions, the best accommodation is just, you know, reaching out and, you know, asking people for help. You know, don't hesitate. Because the more you know your options, the better it's going to be for you. And we actually have to get going. I really wish I could, you know, stay here and spend some time with you folks. But I'll leave you with this quick advice that my dear students, my fellow students, we have been given a vision which goes far, which penetrates deep beyond physical vision. You know, it's a spiritual vision. You know, the Arabic term for student is طالب العلم, which means a seeker of knowledge. And, you know, after hearing all the scholarship winners and after hearing the person who came before me, you know, I truly, you know, it's grateful to be among people who truly have experienced that, you know, that quest for knowledge, you know, when they seek knowledge. So keep that vision, hold on to that vision, and, you know, use that vision to seek out the truth. Always seek out the truth. And no matter what kind of vision you have, if you have the vision to see your goals and dreams and aspirations in front of you. That's all the vision you'll need to keep moving forward. Thank you, and have a wonderful rest of the year.
Thank you. Okay, we've had an entirely jam-packed lunch. Lost and found, I have a pair of glasses that were lost. It looks like maybe yesterday. They're sunglasses, if they're yours. I don't know. Somebody asked me what color they are. I have no idea. I'm blind. Where's a color identifier when you need one? A few years ago, during a convention, I've gotten some ridicule for this. I want to plug the social media committee for a moment because they do work really hard, and they are live tweeting the convention, also posting to Facebook, and members of them of the committee are also involved in the streaming, which is part of the social messaging, social media. So thank you very much to everyone who's on that committee. A few years ago, I happened to tweet while I was giving a speech, tweeting from the podium. And I have been getting a whole lot of, every year somebody would be like, did you tweet from the podium yet? Did you tweet from the podium yet? I just wanted to let you know, Leanne Main, who is usually the one making fun of me if it's not Blair, yes, I tweeted from the podium twice today.
Good girl.
Last on our agenda today, we have, actually just before that, we wanted to say thank you to our president, Liz Botner, who couldn't be here today but has worked very, very hard the last 2 years as president and has done an absolutely fantastic job. So please give Liz a round of applause. Liz couldn't be here today. She got a great job in Atlanta, and so she's living in Georgia. She's doing exactly what she wanted to do. She's working with the Commission for the Blind. Anil, you let your Georgia people know that you can definitely take advantage of the fact that Liz is in that town, but she's always going to be an Illinoisan at heart. Michelle Wesley, who's our first vice president, is in her third year of vet school. She's studying to be a veterinarian, the animal one. And she is working this weekend, so she's not able to be here because she's actually performing surgery on large animals. So a shout-out to Michelle. A shout-out to our other board members who couldn't be here, but thank you to those of you who can. So the person who's been carrying a lot of the weight, when you sign up to be for a second vice president, you don't expect that you're actually going to be running the show or that you're going to have to do a heck of a lot of work. You're kind of like, yeah, okay, fine, I'll do it. Because there's got to be two people that aren't available. But she has done an absolutely fantastic job with the planning, with the organizing, with the pulling things together, with the bossing people around, which is my favorite thing but not hers. And she's absolutely just done a fantastic job. So to address you, to close out today, I wanted to welcome again to the podium our second vice president who's acting as our president this weekend, Rose Sloan.
Thank you, everyone. And Ronza, you actually kind of stole half my speech there. the first thing I really wanted to say was, you know, thank you, Liz, for everything you've done. You've worked so hard these past 2 years, and not just these past 2 years, but especially these last 2 months planning for this convention behind the scenes, even though you were not able to be here yourself. Let's see. Sorry, I have some planned stuff to say. Thank you to all our speakers today, Patty and John, Ed, Debbie, all the scholarship winners, Karen, and Safe. Thank you so much for making this lunch what it was. Let's give them a round of applause, please. Also, we need to give Ms. Ronza Othman a round of applause for emceeing this wonderful lunch. And I know it's been kind of a long lunch, so I'm going to keep it very short. Just wanted to say once again, congratulations to the scholarship class of 2012. And I have to give a little plug for our breakfast tomorrow. IABS is holding our annual business meeting tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. So I know it's early, but please come out. We will be having elections and lots of things going on. You'll hear from Karen Anderson again, and even Liz is going to make a guest appearance via like phone, yeah, technology. So please come out for that. And besides that, thank you for coming and have a wonderful rest of convention. We're back in session at 2.